website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Keep in mind, our broadcast is formatted around you, our listener. We set the stage, we talk about the issues, and we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Our broadcast would be incomplete without your involvement as you listen each day. We're thankful for you. Let me say this. Thank you for those that listen faithfully each and every day. Thank you for those that join in the dialogue and discussion. Thank you to those that send emails, text messages, inviting friends and relatives and neighbors and acquaintances to join in. We have a dear friend of the family that's out in Oregon. She tunes in each and every day by way of online listening to Let's Face the Issues. Thank you for those that do that on a national basis. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're asking the question, will Christianity survive in America? Will Christianity survive in America? We'll be talking about several things today that I believe will go against what we would call our Bill of Rights, our religious liberties and freedom of speech. I believe we're watching today gradually, in fact, in some cases, exponentially fast, where we're watching the evisceration, the annihilation, the absolute destruction of religious liberties and freedom of speech. As our Bill of Rights are being undermined and destroyed, we're seeing our foundation for the great experiment called America. In fact, in Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we'll be looking at some of these issues today. In just a moment, we'll introduce to you our special guest for today. And we'll be asking him some of these questions in relationship to the survivability of Christianity in America. We'll be talking about Joe Biden. Should Joe Biden be impeached? Has he committed treason against America? Should he be tried for treason? Also, we'll be looking at some issues in relationship to having been lied to by the CDC. And now Walensky, the former head of the CDC, has just resigned. She has gotten out of the picture. We'll be looking at a few things that she knew, when she knew it, and what she knew was taking place. And Dr. Anthony Fauci, or should I say Sir Anthony Fauci, and the debacle that took place in Wuhan, China. Who's responsible? How should we respond? That and many, many other pieces to the puzzle as we think on the subject today. Will Christianity survive in America? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. No other book can we depend upon. No other word can we depend upon other than the word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, as he spoke to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17. The scripture says, thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2, the truth of the Lord endures forever. But yet we find we live in a nation today where the world hates truth. those in the Beltway in Washington hate truth. I don't know if you watched the little blurb. They didn't have a whole lot of it on television. Fox carried a little blurb of it where one person was censured in the House, and socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats circled around him and started chanting in the House when they were trying to censure him. And the Speaker of the House had to gavel half a dozen times and never did get full order in the well of the House because of their refusal to allow that one that was the major promulgator of lies about Donald J. Trump and the Russiagate influence that supposedly took place. And he knew all along that it was not so and that it had not been factual. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about truth, I want us to understand that it was the secularist George Orwell that said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place today in very vivid live time and color, if you will. Yet we find 55% of the millennials in America, 18 to 35-year-old age group, make this statement. Each person determines their own version of truth. The furthest thing from the truth is that illusion that each person determines their own truth. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, for that to be so. It is a loss of the truth. In fact, this article states the loss of truth has grave consequences for the community, for justice, for a sense of purpose, and mental health. I'm not aware of any civilization that has abandoned the reality to the extent and survived. The good news is that Americans still hold out hope that each person can make a difference. If there ever was a time to stand for truth, it is now. And I believe that. I believe that absolutely. There's the time to stand for truth, and if there's ever been a time, it's now. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I say that is the mantra that I remind you of each and every day, and I pray that it is beneficial, a blessing, and a challenge to each of you, our listeners, even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. But ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. I understand there's some hurricanes already developing out in the Atlantic. Tools for Time has a full stock of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole. The top of that flagpole is flying U.S. flag Old Glory 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I'll have a very, very brief monologue, and then we will introduce our special guest today to talk about this and many of the other issues that are facing us today, especially from the Christian perspective. How should the Christians, how should the conservatives, how should we live in a society where we're seeing these things take place, ladies and gentlemen? You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Ladies and gentlemen, you wouldn't be surprised perhaps to know that these things are taking place today. In fact, it was in George Orwell's dystopian novel entitled 1984, where he said, and I don't know if George Orwell had any idea of what the Word of God said, but Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said, we will reach a point in time where lies are true, division is unity, and evil is good. Listen, we are beyond that. We're at the very crescendo of that. We're at the apex of that. We're watching that come to fruition today, every moment of every day. Perhaps Orwell didn't know that he was giving a paraphrase from the Word of God, because in Isaiah 5:20 it says clearly, and I'll paraphrase also, good is going to become evil, evil is going to become good, light is darkness, darkness is light, bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter. Our nation, ladies and gentlemen, has witnessed a very serious decline in morals and ethics and values and truth under the Biden administration. Our nation, under the Biden administration, we're under spiritual assault, religious assault, an assault, a full frontal, vicious assault, demonic assault on our Bill of Rights. And the rights that we have, ladies and gentlemen, were not given to us by government. They were given to us by God, codified in our founding documents, of which we find our Bill of Rights. We're finding a spiritual assault today, as never before. We're finding that taking place increasingly, where conservatives and Christians and patriots have been focused, the focus of the demonic attack by this entire administration. This administration, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of some of the things before we have our guest. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to about the mask mandate. 146 studies said masks have no efficacy whatsoever. We were lied to by the CDC. We were lied to by Sir Anthony Fauci with the NIH. We were lied to by the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen. They knew that. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the most frightening things I believe that we could talk about today, in fact, we could spend the entire broadcast on this subject. I'm looking at a headline. Heart disease risk soars 13,200% among vaccinated, now confirmed by the CDC. A bombshell study from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and the Food and Drug Administration has confirmed that the risk of autoimmune heart disease is 13,200% higher in people who are vaccinated for COVID. The study found the risk of myocarditis following the mRNA COVID vaccination is around 133 times greater than the background risk in the population in general. The study was conducted by the CDC and the FDA and researchers from several top U.S. universities and hospitals. This article says researchers examined the effect of the vaccination, which produced by manufacturers like Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. They found that COVID shots increased the risk of suffering myocarditis by 13,200%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing almost daily where some sports person, some individual that is muscular and looks like as a specimen of health, that's dropping dead from heart attacks, and then they're finding major, major, major infection in their systems, including blood clots that cause the death, and no other reason can be, determined, except it's because of the COVID vaccination. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to about that. Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted today simply because we stand for truth. If you stand for truth and you say something about the election being fraudulent in 2022, if you stand in 2020, or if you stand for truth and you question COVID vax and the COVID lie and the COVID deceit that has taken place for 3 years in America, then all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, we're called domestic terrorists. especially if you're a parent that challenges the porn that's being taught in the classroom under the guise of sex education with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda being absolutely perpetrated against our morals and ethics and values. It is an affront to God. It's a slap in the Christian's face. And nevertheless, we see this taking place on a wide range across America today. Our public educational system has been dead for years, but it's now not just dead, but it's destroying the minds and the hearts by sexualization, weaponization, and the grooming of our kids in the school. If Christian florists and Christian bakers and Christian photographers refuse to bow to the mainstream media, the loose likes lost liberals, and the transsexual LGBTQ agenda, the government prosecutes and persecutes them. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know any other way to put it other than to say that that is a major, major, major. I'm looking at a headline that says, yet again, states taken to court for its apparent hatred of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, that didn't happen. It's been happening on a small scale, but that didn't just happen yesterday. That didn't just happen under previous administrations. It's happening now on a rampant scale under the Biden administration because I believe that he hates America. I believe that he hates the Christian. I believe that he's looking at it on the basis that he's going to crush the Christian conservative patriots in America with his thumb. ACLJ, Jay Sekulow's newsletter just this morning says 90% of all Christians killed for their faith are in one nation, that's Nigeria. This is genocidal nightmare, and yet the world is defiantly silent, especially America, saying nothing about it. Why would you think that is the case? It's because we have no respect, no regard for the Christian, for the conservatives, for those that are patriots in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden family cabal has been in the position for years selling America, multi-millions of dollars. The Marxist media continue to cover their treason. And Joe Biden, with 22-plus LLCs, with Hunter Biden and others, selling America. Ladies and gentlemen, America faces some very serious constitutional issues today, and we need to have someone to help us walk through this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our special guest today, Congressman Mike Hill. Mike is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Welcome, Congressman Hill, to Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your discussion and joining in this dialogue and discussion and the benefit and the blessing to our listeners. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Youngblood. It is always an honor and pleasure to be on your show.
We're thankful that you can take time to do so. Congressman Hill, do you believe that America has been deceived? Do you believe that Christians and conservatives are in the crosshairs of this administration's targeting for what we stand for and what we're doing? What is your take on that?
Well, it's obvious, Dr. Youngblood, that there is, as you stated, indeed, an attack on Christianity in America being perpetrated by our current leadership in the White House and many in the legislature and also our judicial system. Our government system right now seems to be against Christianity, which is so ironic, because this nation was founded on Christian principles. It was started by those who came here seeking freedom to worship God that they saw best and not how the state dictated that they should. And God blessed those early settlers who came to this nation and prospered them. And we're seeing the results of that foundation that they laid even now. And we see that we have, again, a government that is trying to dictate how we are to worship, where we are to worship, and when. And, of course, Christians today in America are not accepting that and should not accept that. And what we need to do is come back to those original principles and values that this nation was founded on, those Christian principles and values. Amen. And let our government know that you cannot stop God. You cannot stop the church and his movement. It is impossible. It is hard, as God, as Jesus told Paul, it is hard to kick against the pricks. But what you can keep doing it if you want, but you are not going to win. So, Dr. Youngblood, I would encourage your listeners to not get discouraged. Don't be dismayed that we are going to get past this. We're going to get through this, and God is ultimately going to be victorious.
Absolutely. And Congressman Hill, as you're making that statement, it reminds me of Psalms 146 and verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Our help comes from the Lord, the scripture says. And if we, and I'm sure that others understand this, sure that you do, that if we as Christians and conservatives place our faith and trust and confidence in government rather than God, we'll fail every time. Congressman, hold your thoughts for a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comments, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon, Representative Hall. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. I pray that you are.
Doing well. You started out the show today asking if Christianity was on a demise here in America. And I would like to posit this, that without Christianity, America will not exist. If I may be indulged, can I read just two paragraphs from George Washington's farewell address, sir?
Go ahead. Yes.
All right. George Washington, in his farewell of the address, two paragraphs. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on the minds of peculiar structure, reason, and experience, both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles.
Absolutely.
That was
well
one of
stated.
Our founding fathers who wrote
yes.
that over 200 years ago.
Hold your thought for a moment, Jim. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to that? What are your thoughts? What thought does that reading evoke in your mind?
Jim is absolutely right. Jim is absolutely right. I agree with him 100%. And I would just add to that, that always base everything, as you say at the beginning of your monologue, Dr. Youngblood, base everything on the truth. And the truth is always God's word. You cannot fail as long as you're basing it on the truth.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your comment,
thank you,
especially
Jim.
The reading of quotes from George Washington. I'm in full agreement with that. And I believe that it's needful and necessary for Christians to see the seriousness of the condition of America today that we might go back to the fundamental foundations of, thus saith the word of God. Jim, thank you so much. Have a blessed day today. Congressman Hill, thank you so much. Congressman Hill, I'm prone to ask questions a little bit varied today because of a recent article that I just read. In fact, I'll read a blurb from it. It says, CDC chief knew COVID vaccine didn't work at all while yet pushing the shots. Dated June 21st, 2023, a newly unearthed email from former CDC Director Rochelle Walensky reveals that she, former NIH Director Francis Collins, and COVID point man Dr. Anthony Fauci discussed the dangerous vaccine breakthroughs of COVID infections at the same time they were still telling the public that the vaccines would prevent people from becoming infected, a narrative she continued for months. Walensky redacted email produced through the Freedom of Information Act. The FOIA request is dated June 30, 2021, shortly after the Biden government began rolling out the COVID vaccines, which quickly became mandatory for military servicemen and for government employees, as well as in the corporate world, pushing those who refused to take the shot punishing those who refuse to take the shot. In the email, Walensky writes, I had a call from Francis Collins this morning, and one of these issues we discussed was that the vaccine breakthroughs were not working. And it goes on. It's a five-page article. But, Congressman Hill, does that surprise you?
Well, it does not, Dr. Youngblood. But this is what I would add to your thoughts there, is they knew that it didn't work. They knew the vaccine was not effective, but they also knew the harm that it was causing, both physically and financially, to millions of people. They knew, and we can see the documentation now, they knew the dangers it was causing to hearts of people, the myocarditis that it was causing. They knew that that was happening. They knew all the various side effects that were being reported in the VAERS system. And they knew that that was only the tip of the iceberg, that there were a lot more that were not being reported. They were aware of that. They were aware of many people who were losing their jobs, their way to support their families and to support themselves, because they refused to take that vaccine that they knew was not effective and it was not safe. They knew about that. Dr. Youngblood, I think that what the director of the CDC, what Anthony Fauci, and I will go on to say also the Biden administration, mm-hmm. they all knew that was criminal behavior. People died from taking those shots. People have been permanently disabled from taking those shots. And they knew they were not effective. They knew they were not safe. And I believe that criminal behavior should be brought to justice, if not during more current with our current legislative session, our current Congress, doing something to bring them to justice, but if not then, as soon as possible, because this is indeed criminal behavior when you knew your actions were causing harm to people, was causing people to die, and causing people to lose how they would support themselves and their families.
That is so apropos and on target. As the article I read earlier, just a portion of it, heart disease risk soars 13,200% among vaccinated, CDC confirms. CDC is just now confirming what you and I have talked about for years now as to the reality of what is taking place. I'm looking at a newsletter that I received from Jeff Childers, an attorney out of Gainesville, Florida, and he's got on his daily blog put in print. He's got about a 6 or 8 page article. Well, part of it says, on Monday, Super Bowl champion linebacker Clark Haggins, 46, fumbled the ball of life when he died mysteriously, suddenly, and unexpectedly at home. At home means he never even made it to the hospital. Whatever it was, it happened that fast. The Larimore County, Colorado coroner's office conducted an autopsy yesterday and did not announce the cause or the manner of death, except to say no foul play was evident. And he goes on with 6 or 8 other sports people that are relatively young, 25, 35, 45, 50, 55 years of age, are mysteriously dropping dead across America. And all of them had taken the COVID vaccine, and some of them were even bragging and pushing that others would take the COVID vaccine, and some even to the point of condemning those that are with the unvaccinated as being scum of the earth. So, Congressman Hill, I think what we're seeing, my most humble opinion, we're seeing the ultimate revelation of what we've gone through for 3 years with being lied to by CDC, FDA, the Biden administration, that's taken 1.1 million lives in America and 6.9 million lives around the world. We're going to talk about that further after we come back after the news break. Congressman Hill, stay tuned. Hang in there for a moment. We'll have about a 1 minute top of the hour news break, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back to continue facing the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu has made his first public appearance since an armed rebellion demanding his ouster. Members of the Russian Wagner mercenary outfit marched on Moscow before doing an about-face, ending the uprising. Tens of thousands of North Koreans have marched in anti-U.S. rallies, that country marking the 73rd anniversary of the start of the Korean War. The weekend brought more wicked weather to parts of the country. A tornado killed one person, injured another when it struck a home in Martin County, Indiana. Powerful storms in Tennessee as well, with damage and power outages in the Memphis area. The U.S. Coast Guard is at the helm of an international investigation looking into the loss of the Titan submersible, seeking to determine what caused it to implode as it was carrying five people to view the remains of the Titanic. This is SRN News.
First Conservative Baptist Church invites you to join them for their Independence Day celebration. The Mark 5 Quartet will be in concert with great singing.
Jesus Christ the Lord, open up.
Service starts at 10 a.m., barbecue lunch at 12:30. There's no ticket charge. A love offering will be taken. July 2nd at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ultimate question today that demands to be answered: will Christianity survive in America? We're watching the demise of our Bill of Rights, the evisceration of anything that's called religious liberties and freedom of speech. We're watching an administration that's censoring everything that is said by way of text message, email, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, through big tech, which is now an arm of the federal government. We're watching the IRS, with one agent that I will read an article a little later in the broadcast, says, I can go in any home, anytime, anywhere that I desire to, and nothing can stop me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching an administration that's totally out of control. We're watching the ultimate truth bubbling up to the forefront of what took place with the COVID vaccination and the lies about COVID. In fact, we're looking one article says EcoHealth Alliance, subcontractor among COVID-19 patient zero at Wuhan lab in the report. And ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today Congressman Mike Hill, the former representative for District 1 in the Florida legislature here in the state of Florida. We're delighted to have him, and we're asking some questions that I believe are relevant and that we need to understand. So, Congressman Hill, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us today. And I pray that as our listeners stay tuned, that they will hear with perked ears to hear and heed what we're talking about, because I think it's very serious. I believe that our liberties are at stake. I believe that our Bill of Rights are at stake. In fact, Joe Biden has said at least 8 times, to my knowledge, in public discourse, that he has no reason to believe that our Bill of Rights cannot be just removed, changed, or modified at will. And that's what I believe they're doing, and I believe it's an intentional evisceration of our liberties as a Christian. So again, thank you for being with us. We're talking about, before the news break, about what's happening with COVID and the COVID deaths across America and the evisceration of anything that would be called truth about it. So the question is, Congressman Hill, why do you think the COVID vaccinations and the COVID development in Wuhan, China? In fact, in reading this article, it says a damning new report indicates that Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, under Sir Anthony, I'm using the term Sir, Anthony Fauci, and the Chinese military co-opted Wuhan Institute of Virology, all their fingerprints on the research that they ultimately resulted in the death of 1.1 million Americans and over 6.9 million worldwide. Now, Congressman Hill, the question is, do you believe that it was developed as a bioweapon? Secondly, do you believe that it was out of the Wuhan lab in China? And thirdly, why would America, and based on the latest information that I've read, we funded it by somewhere between $41 and $50 million. Why would this have taken place? What's wrong with the big picture there?
Dr. Youngblood, I saw a very interesting video about a week or so ago. I believe the video was probably a couple of months old, maybe 6 months or so. But the video was showing a doctor who was speaking at a United Nations Council meeting, to where he described this entire COVID debacle that took place. And he said a number of very interesting things which caught me completely off guard and that I was not aware of. One of the things that this doctor said was that this development of this this disease that we call COVID, first of all, was not naturally occurring. You know, we have a number of diseases that are, you know, floating around all over the place. That occur for various reasons, but this particular COVID and SARS disease that we saw was created. It was created in a laboratory back in, this is what shocked me, 1965. It was that long ago, and it was created by a company that was later changed its name to Pfizer. And he goes on to state that there were many instances since 1965 where that disease that was created in this laboratory in America, by the way, that it was modified, changed, all for the intent of potentially using it as a biological weapon. It was continued to be funded, as you mentioned, by Dr. Fauci and others. And then at the Wuhan lab in China, it was released. Now, some think it was accidental. Dr. Youngblood, I think that the whole COVID debacle which took place was a biological warfare that was unleashed on the world. And
yes,
we saw it was worse in some nations than others. Australia was one of the worst perpetrators of that, forcing people to take the vaccine or to go to concentration camps. The nation of Israel was draconian in how they were forcing people to take the vaccine. I wanted to go to Israel within the past couple of years on these tours, but refused to go because you could not enter the country unless you took the vaccine. And now Israel is seeing the results of that, of the side effects that are affecting so many of their population. But what is even more sinister, so evil, Dr. Youngblood, about this, is that they knew the dangers of this this disease. They also knew what would cure it, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and they would not let those treatments be used. In fact, they degraded, they demeaned anyone who tried to promote using that, and in fact, you couldn't get it. Dr. Youngblood, just out of precaution, I tried to obtain ivermectin and had through a teledoc, had them send the prescription to first a Baptist hospital here in Pensacola and then to CVS Pharmacy. Neither would fulfill the prescription when I told them what I wanted it for. I said, I want it as a prophylactic against COVID. And they said, well, we don't have it. They would not fulfill that prescription for me. And then to be even worse, Dr. Youngblood, they tried to tout that the only way to protect yourself was to get this vaccine that was developed again by Pfizer and others, and to the tune of where they made tens of billions of dollars mm-hmm. off these vaccines. They knew they were not effective. They knew the booster shots were not effective. They knew the horrific side events, but they even demanded that it be given to infant children.
Yes.
That was just sinister, Dr. Youngblood, and they did it all for money, for the love of money, which is the root of all evil.
Absolutely. And Congressman, one of the things as you were speaking, my mind could not help but to go to the fact that there's got to be an ultimate cause as we see the effect. And it's out of a demonic delusion that I would call it that spread around the globe, and 6.9 million died as a result of COVID. And then the shots that were given, with millions dying as a result of that, even today. And a doctor, physician, friend of ours for the family said that within 5 years, we would find mega major deaths across America and around the world as a result of the COVID vaccinations. So that brings me to the question, is it your opinion that this was done ultimately as a mass genocide to reduce the population of the globe, as Bill Gates and others have advocated for years?
Yes, I do believe that, Dr. Youngblood, and it's delusional. When you look back in our own history, and you don't have to go that far back, particularly when they have these climate change alarmists who are telling us or predicting what was going to happen to the world if we didn't change our behavior. You'll recall, Dr. Youngblood, when they talked about a climate cooling, that we were going to go into a mini ice age and there wouldn't be enough food for everyone. Well, that didn't come to fruition. Then they said that we were killing off all the species and that eventually we're going to starve from food. That didn't happen. So what we are seeing, Dr. Youngblood, is this is just another iteration of that, where they want to do population control, depopulate, to the point where we saw even in India and China, where they have forced abortions, trying to stop people because they said we were overpopulating our planet, which again was just a lie. It was a fabrication. It was delusion that came, I believe, from the pit of hell. And now we have people like Bill Gates and the World Health Organization and the Council on Foreign Relations and others saying that we have too many people living on Earth, that we need to depopulate it. And I believe this was another one of their attempts to depopulate our Earth. It is, when we get more basic than that, Dr. Youngblood, it is simply man joining Satan, shaking their fist in God's face that we will not honor life that only comes from you. Instead, we are going to kill it.
Absolutely. It's a slap in the face of God, spit in the face of the Christians in America. and the conservatives in our nation. Congressman, changing directions for a moment. Looking at the headline, says Comer, talking about Representative Comer, Biden's got more than $10 million from foreign entities. The Biden family long has been suspected of running an international influence peddling scheme, collecting cash for access to Joe Biden, then vice president and now president. After all, Hunter Biden at one point was getting tens of thousands of dollars a month to be on board of the Ukrainian gas company in an industry where he has zero experience. So, Congressman, the question is, and many of our listeners may or may not have heard, give us a little background for our listeners. What's happening with Joe Biden? The investigation of his background. Is Joe Biden guilty of treason? Is it your opinion that Joe Biden should be impeached? Just give a little narrative from start to finish on where we are and what we should understand about the Biden administration and whether he has committed treason against America.
Well, it all began, Dr. Youngblood, when he was vice president of the United States under Obama. And during that time, they would do what is called influence peddling, to where people wanted access to the vice president because they thought it would give them access to the president and to power in order for them to receive certain benefits, which always boiled down to them getting paid, making money. And so they would pay Biden millions of dollars just so that they could have access to him. And they did it through his son, Hunter, and other family members. It's been identified that 5 to 7 Biden family members all received huge sums of money just so that they could have access to the levers of power, the United States. But Biden wasn't the first one who started that. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton perfected that to an art with the Clinton Foundation when she was Secretary of State and would allow people to pay her and her foundation millions of dollars just for access to the levers of power in America. Biden took that cue and continued doing that. And the reason he did it is he saw that absolutely nothing happened to the Clintons. There was no justice brought forth because of the illegal acts that they did. And so I believe that the Biden family believe that they are also immune to any justice that's going to happen because of this. You know, Hunter Biden recently pled guilty to some relatively minor offenses. Well, actually, they were felonies that he should have been jailed for, but gets off with a plea deal with a slap on the wrist and probation when others would have been put in jail for many years for that. And so even though Representative Comer is revealing this information, I have to sadly say, Dr. Youngblood, that I think nothing is going to happen to Joe Biden or his family, even though I do agree with you, they have committed treason against the United States. What they have done are actions that go against this country and against our government, and that they should be brought to justice for that.
Absolutely. In fact, in the article it says, a new report from the Republicans investigating vast cash payments to the Biden family over the years, released by Representative James Comer, has the receipts in hand. The Biden family and associates activists in Romania bear clear indications of a scheme to peddle influence from 2016 to 17, the report says. While Vice President Biden lectured Romania on corruption and ethics, Hunter Biden received, through Biden associate Rob Walker, over $1 million for a company controlled by Romanian individuals accused of corruption. The article goes on to say, in the 36-page memo from the House Oversight Accountability Committee, that Joe Biden's family has collected between $10 and $30 million from foreign entities, mostly while he was vice president and now as president. David Bossie, for example, says the Biden family in politics is they're in politics to make money, lots of it. And he goes on to talk about the millions upon millions. Bossie claimed that the report is a game changer and said the shockwaves could have been measured on the Richter scale. The meticulously detailed 36-page briefing memo made one thing perfectly clear. The Biden family is in politics, not just for public service, but to make money, lots of it. The documents go on to talk about 22 LLCs, limited liability corporations, that they had set up to wash the money through. In fact, one of the memos that they discovered in their investigation said that even if they're caught up with, even if they this is discovered, i.e. the shroud and the shell game, even if that's found out about, that it would take 10 years for the legal arms of the government to work through it and figure out what really happened. In other words, they have known for all this time that what they're doing is wrong and that it is theft and it's absolutely an impeachable offense. I believe, and I want you to respond to it, I believe that if nothing else, they should go ahead in the House with the impeachment process, knowing that the Senate's going to do nothing about carrying it out. But I believe it needs to be on record that he was impeached for selling America, for absolutely a treasonous act, that in yesteryear there would have been major guilty verdict and major repercussions. The last count we had of treason, anybody charged with treason in America, they got major life sentences or death sentence as a result of it. So with that in mind, we need to understand that we're faced with very serious things in America today. Congressman Mike Hill, our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. A good illustration, Congressman Hill, of my concerns about morals and ethics and values and Christian liberties in America. I'm looking at a headline that says, look at the fear the Ten Commandments cause in the state of Texas. Dated May 18th, 2023. Thou shalt not post the Ten Commandments. Headline, Dallas Morning News. Ten Commandments in schools violates the church and state separation. San Antonio Report. The Ten Commandments bill, thou shalt not play favorites. Headline, Austin American Statesman. Misguided attempt to put Ten Commandments in the school will cost Texas. Dallas Morning News. Public schools would have to display the Ten Commandments under the bill passed by the Senate in Texas, the Texas Tribune says. Why is it the greatest set of laws which our holy God handed down on Mount Sinai causing so much consternation in 2023? Congressman Hill, I believe that when you were active in the Florida House, you were familiar with some of these events, with the requiring of the posting of the Ten Commandments in the public schools. You're familiar with the heartbeat bill, et cetera, et cetera. From your perspective and the background in the legislative process, why would the bill requiring the Ten Commandments be posted in public schools, why would it bring such ire from the public and the media in Texas? Why do you think such a frenzy?
So, Dr. Youngblood, let's clarify that this frenzy, this gnashing of their teeth, is coming from the left.
Yes.
From the Democrats. It's a party that is staunchly against God. You'll recall, Dr. Youngblood, at one of their national conventions, when they had when a vote was taken to remove God from their platform, and they booed when they were told that God would remain in their platform. It's a party that is completely antithetical to Christianity and to God. And so those who are complaining against putting standards of morality, standards of good behavior in our public schools, that those who are against it are those who do not want to be held accountable for their actions. And I don't mean just here on this earth, but in the life to come. They don't believe they should be held accountable and do not want to be held accountable by the living God, but they will. And here they are declaring that we cannot teach our children in school good moral principles, and they're trying to base it on this nonsense of separation of church and state, which if they understood what it meant, first of all, is nowhere in our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or our Bill of Rights. Nowhere does it say there is a separation of church and state. What they have turned on its head is a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists assuring them that government would not impose onto the church how they are to worship, how they are to function. That is what he meant in his letter, where he stated there is a great wall of separation between the church and the state, where the state cannot impose on the church how it is to worship. And that is why the church does not have to pay taxes. That's what we mean by separation of church and state. It does not mean that you cannot bring into the public square our faith, our belief, our religion. It absolutely needs to be, because it is moral, it is just, and it is right.
Amen. Congressman, hold your thoughts for a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I do, Dr. Youngblood.
Doing great. I pray that you are.
And Brother Hill, I just wanted to
make doing very well.
Comments.
Thank you.
Okay. I heard about Hunter Biden. Just got a slap on the wrist. If you and I would have been accused of that, we'd have to do prison time.
How do you respond, Congressman Hill? What is your response to Kenneth's thoughts on that?
It's just crazy. Can you hear me?
Oh, he's absolutely right. What we are showing is not equal protection under the law. We're not seeing equal justice under the law. What we are seeing is a two-tiered justice system where some are held accountable for breaking the law and some are not. Kenneth is absolutely right. Most citizens, let me put it differently. If you were a conservative, if you were a Republican,
yes,
you absolutely would have received a judgment for it and gone to jail. And we see that with what they are trying to do with President Trump right now, with the handling of classified information. He is being put on trial for it, but we see that Biden, who did the exact same thing, and so did Mike Pence, and so did Hillary Clinton, that absolutely nothing is happening to them. So there is injustice that is being done in our nation right now, and it's a shame that we are seeing this in this great nation, that we are supposed to be a beacon of those who look to us for what is true and right, what is justice, and we are not seeing that right now. Why? Because the left is in charge, and leftists are evil. I'll go ahead and say that, Dr. Youngblood. They absolutely are, because they go against righteousness. They go against God.
Absolutely. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Our time is just about out. Got one thought, Congressman Hill, as we end our show today. I'm looking at an article that says the IRS agent claims he can go anywhere in anyone's house at any time. I'm reminded of the joke, if you will, if I could tell it quickly in the wrap-up of our time. Out in Texas a number of years ago, a federal agent came on the property of a large rancher and said that he was just going to inspect, and the rancher said, "You can't." And the agent showed him his badge and said, "I can go any place I want to." So the rancher said, "Okay, go." And a few minutes, he's screaming and running, and a bull is after him. And he says, "Help, help." And the rancher says, "Show him your badge. Show him your badge." very quickly, and I'll wrap up. Do you think federal agents like this have the right to go any place anytime? We got about 20 seconds. Wrap us up.
No, absolutely not, Dr. Youngblood. You know, unreasonable search and seizure is one of our Bill of Rights. So there is no way they are able to come into your home, especially without a warrant, can go anywhere they want, any way they like. And I hope that this agent won't choose to do that to someone who is carrying an arm with them, a firearm.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative